In it to win it. We got Jack, we got Will, and of course we got Ryan, which it's been a little while. Now you got a giant microphone in front of your face. Do you deserve it?
First time in the hot seat on Lou Later.
That sounds like a yes, ladies and gentlemen. We threw him into the fire, and he's got a lot to say.
I don't have much to say.
He's got a lot of opinions. He's bringing the heat today. That's what he told me before we started rolling.
I'm bringing
something. He said, you put me on that couch, I'm bringing my A game. I'm bringing the heat. I said, all right, fine.
I said, have
at it. We'll put a microphone there, and we'll see what you got. Have you seen this show before, Ryan?
Of course.
So then you probably know we get into it. We tackle the news in the tech segment. We branch a little bit, and we answer some questions. It's pretty straightforward.
I'm ready.
So, Willie, do you want to start or you want me to start today? Oh, I'm going to start.
Yeah.
I'm going to start. And I'll tell you why, because I got this story here. This Energizer phone. You seen this thing? This Ryan.
Wow.
Look at this phone. I mean, what are we doing out here? This is the world's longest lasting smartphone. Okay. Now, you may have seen it doing the rounds. It was at some trade show. And it showed up on a few YouTube channels and, of course, on a number of websites, blogs, and so forth. But not really for the reasons that you would like to have it show up. I think it was kind of like a freak show component. People just wanted to point at it and say, that's crazy, and it gets clicks because it's so wild. You feel like you need to learn about it. But it turns out that nobody actually wants to buy it.
11 people.
11 people, because... Yeah. Somehow, in the meantime, since it got all that press at that trade show, I don't remember which trade show it was. I think it was MWC. It somehow turned into, it morphed into a Kickstarter. It lost the Energizer brand name. And there's an Indiegogo. And this is the page. This is what we're left with here. World's longest lasting smartphone, P18K, 18,000 milliamp hour battery for days of freedom on a single charge, I think. People quoted it like somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 days of standby battery. I don't even remember. But it's an 18,000 milliamp hour battery. Typical smartphone, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 milliamp hours. But it's a giant phone. And when they went to Indiegogo, even after all that hype and all that interest, they were able to convince 11 people to back it. 11 people, even though the goal was $1.6 million. So you can see the dollar figure there, $20,000 Canadian. These things are around $650 US each.
1%.
1% is what it breaks down to. So basically no interest. With the pop-up camera and the giant battery, you would have thought there would be some user out there on planet Earth that was waiting for a gigantic battery in a smartphone, and it would be more than 11. It would be some military, law enforcement, podcast listener, somebody.
I know one.
You know one.
Survivor Man.
Survivor Man. Out in the wilderness.
You know his real name.
Les Stroud.
Yes.
Yeah. I met him, actually.
Oh, really?
Weird. Yeah, weird. He actually, when I had the shop repairing iPhones, he shattered the screen on his iPhone. We replaced it for him.
Wow.
He sent us after he was a satisfied customer, he sent us a photo with a signature. Survivor Man.
Really?
Back in the day. Yeah.
That's cool.
You know who the only other person who knows that story is? Kyle Cruz. So shout out to Kyle Cruz, who was working at the store at that point in time. That's a crazy, unexpected twist.
But yeah, if you're him and you're out in the wilderness,
yeah.
I mean, as a last resort,
he's,
I know.
Somebody.
Obviously, he has a phone. So.
But here's the thing. Maybe they didn't promote it correctly. You look, the early bird special, $549. I mean, I guess people just did, on a whim, they didn't want to back this thing. And it's a brick, and it's heavy, and it's scary. It's a scary-looking thing,
Ryan. It's not for your everyday user, obviously. No one wants to have a one-inch phone. We're going slimmer, not fatter, right? I think that's the goal.
We're going slimmer, not fatter.
Yeah, so I get the battery life kind of concept.
Which phone are you using right now, by the way?
OnePlus 6.
Mm. Okay, so yeah, that's much slimmer than this thing.
Yeah.
OnePlus 7 coming out soon. Are you going to switch to that, Ryan?
Well, I don't probably feel it's necessary. I just got this phone like a couple months ago.
You don't need it.
Like a year.
You don't need it.
Yeah.
You're a regular guy. That's the best thing about you. We have you on the show.
It's just unnecessary.
We have you on the show, and you bring reality to the forefront. You're a guy living a life.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You have a couple beers here and there.
I'm not going to lie.
You play hockey here and there.
Yeah, once in a while.
You have a barbecue here and there.
I do have a barbecue.
And you need a smartphone that does smartphone things. And you're not going to break the bank for it.
I want to get a smoker.
Oh, like one of those pellet grills?
Yeah. One day.
You know, the only problem with those is it takes a lot of time. You got to commit. Yeah. It's a weekend only. You got to have a whole Saturday at home.
Wait. Yeah, we won't go too deep into that. But you can do it in like a couple hours.
Okay.
You can. But anyway.
There it is. I mean, they look beautiful. Like that smoked,
man.
Smoked meat. What about the, Will, bring up that famous, the famous meme, the Mark Zuckerberg meme. Just out here smoking meats. No, you got to go. It's a video. You got to bring it up on YouTube. Yeah. Get this on. Get this. Click videos.
Okay. I've seen this.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. No, not the song. Just the Uncanny Valley. The next one down. There. Try that one.
That's the unit, though. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. That green thing in the back.
Give us. Can we get a little volume, Will? Just for our own.
I am smoking a brisket and some ribs. I make meats now. Smoking these meats here.
Little meat smoking.
So I'm the meat chef. Yeah, someone asked me, do I smoke meat? Smoking meat.
Wow.
Is this for real?
This is real. He did a live stream on Facebook.
Someone cut this, though. I guess
And then they cut it together, all the mentions of smoking meats during this live stream. And it turns out he said smoking meats like 1,000 times. This clip is 2.5 minutes, just the term smoking meats and brisket.
And some pork ribs on the green egg.
Wow.
It's like him trying to appear like a regular person.
Yeah.
He's trying to make himself, he's trying to humanize because he's obviously
who are these two guys?
The founder and CEO of Facebook.
Yeah.
So that's not a normal human life.
No.
But he's trying to.
Like he's got a real fence, a couple barbecues, a few buds over.
It's a regular life. It's a regular life.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's buying that.
Anyway, you can kill that. You can kill that, Will. Anyhow, if he can smoke meats, Ryan. You can smoke meats yourself.
I think so.
If Zuckerberg can do it, it's in your wheelhouse. Anyway, I guess, is it disappointing? I don't know. Probably not. We don't need those things to show up in a landfill when people realize carrying a brick in their pocket is not a good idea.
Maybe because it's Energizer, it's a little disappointing. However they were involved.
You got a soft spot for
Energizer? Well, no, it's just that they're pretty reputable, right? And they put their name out there, and I don't know how they were.
Yeah, it looks like they bailed. It looks like they removed their name by the time it got to Indiegogo, because on this page, there's no mention of Energizer.
No, it's totally, it's a different company.
Yeah, so it's a very bizarre scenario. But anyway, it ain't happening. So if you watch those original clips from the trade show and you thought that this was the future of smartphones, it turns out, not only is it not the future of smartphones, it's not a smartphone at all anymore, and only 11 people were prepared to put down their money, even though the aim was $1.6 million. So you steer clear. I don't know. You dodged a bullet if you were going to be one of those supporters. Who knows? Maybe one day it'll be time for gigantic fat phones, but it ain't today. Yeah. It ain't today. All right, keeping it in weird town for a minute before we get into the more grim news, I have a story here about a Razer toaster. And trust me, we do have some grim news. This is not part of it. Razer, like the company Razer that makes laptops and gaming accessories, they're going to make a toaster, Ryan. Now, this was originally an April Fool's thing, but their fan base decided it should not have been an April Fool's Day thing. They felt slighted, and they harassed Razer on social media, and they said, no, you said you were going to make a toaster. You better make a toaster. And so the CEO confirms he's going to put an R&D team into a Razer toaster for the gaming crowd. So their toaster can match the gaming aesthetic that they are accustomed to. And is it going to be a good toaster, a bad toaster? I don't know. But it's official now. It's happening. So if you were waiting for this thing that started strictly as an April Fool's Day gag, you now can actually buy one or eventually buy one. It will burn a Razer logo into your toast.
It actually does that, really.
That's what it will do. It was just a joke. It was just a render. It was a joke. But presumably, that's what it'll eventually do. Here's the post from the CEO. All right, I didn't think these guys were going to make it, but they did. It was to hit 1 million likes, and with each Razor Toaster tattoo being equivalent to 100K likes each. So people got these tattoos in order to make it happen. And they now have 12 Razor Toaster tattoos out there in the world.
Wow.
And what can I say? I'm going to put together my team of designers and engineers. It will take a few years, but I'll be sure to share the progress and make it a community affair. So they're going to... Kind of cool. Kind of weird.
A few years? Really? It's kinda, a toaster.
Kind of weird, but kind of cool. I'm rethinking this right now. I don't know. How cool is it? Because then I'm like, wait, these people are getting tattoos. Do we want people to get tattoos in exchange for a toast? I don't... Is it all fun and games, Ryan? Or is it darker than that?
I think it's a little much, to be honest.
There's the tattoo. There's the Razor Toaster tattoo.
I don't know. Maybe if you're really into Razor,
There's a dozen of them out there now in the world, and so that's why they're going to have to make the toaster. What do you think, Ryan? Fun and games or dark side? Darth Vader.
The guy on the right says Darth Vader on that screen, but the guy on the left...
Fun and games.
No, it's all Darth Vader. I think it's kind of strange. Getting the tattoo of the toaster? Seriously?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere between the two, but you can't really tell people what to be enthusiastic about. You know what I mean? Everybody's into something. These guys are into Razor, and who are we to tell them?
Look, I don't
You like the Calgary Flames. So
that's completely off topic. I don't like
you're
judging.
Damn right it's off topic.
I don't want to be a guy that's judging, all right? So these guys want to tattoo
exactly.
Toaster grade.
Exactly.
I think it's a little bit of like a, you know,
what's that? Uh-oh. Where are you venturing right now? Where are you about to go right now? This is about to get real dark.
A fad? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's not the right word, but it's like
a temporary
impulse,
thing.
Sort of
like you're saying they're going to regret it later on.
Here's the thing. Maybe they felt that they could get their picture on the internet if they got a Razor
Toaster
tattoo.
There you go. Then they got a good transaction.
Did they? Are they going to want
to? They got their picture. They got their toaster. Now they get to point at the toaster when people come over and say, you see, I made that product happen. Maybe that's a win, man. Maybe that's exciting.
How long is that cool for?
Not that long. Look, I'm not saying I would do it, but I'm saying people are into stuff. People
are into breadwinners.
People are into things, Ryan.
Yeah.
You can't control it. You try to control it, you fail. People are into things.
But why are they going to take it so far? Like, what? It's a joke and it's a toaster.
It's the internet, man. You hit that many people. You don't... Look, he got a dozen. He got a dozen people to do it. It's... You hit enough people, and you know some people are gonna.
It's confusing.
They're
gonna
take
the
opportunity.
I guess it's just, I'm not the guy to.
Now let me ask you something, Ryan. Out of those three tattoos, if you had to have one, which one would you go with?
Well, see, the one in the middle actually resembles the toaster. Like it
yes,
actually looks a lot
correct.
Like it. So it's pretty. Yeah, I'd go with the middle one.
Wow,
that's a big one though.
Yeah, I would pick.
Yeah, that's
for
on
sure
the leg,
the far
I guess.
Right.
Hey? Yeah.
For sure, I'm taking the far right. Far right. At least it's black and white.
You can cover it.
It looks like hopefully. A design of some kind. I don't know. Anyway, let's keep it moving. Let's get into some real news here. We started off on the light stuff, but now we got real stuff to talk about, Ryan. We brought you in here for your expertise, so we want to talk about the smartphone marketplace.
Okay.
We want to talk about the big brands. We want to talk about revenue. This is the stock market part of the... I mean, it's going to be more fun than that. This is not CNN or whatever it might be, but... I'm here on Tom's Guide, actually. Apple Q2 results. iPhone revenue falls $6 billion. Services skyrocket. Well, we know. We saw what happened with their services business. So iPhone revenue went from 61% to 53.5% of Apple's revenue. And services went up from 16% to 19.7% of their revenue. So Apple, of course, moving... more into the services department. We saw their recent keynote. Typical of a maturing brand to change their revenue structure.
Mm-hmm.
Once the iPhones are out there, can you really get people to keep upgrading, or do you need to get their money some other way? Interestingly, iPad is up a couple of percentage points, or just under a couple percentage points, likely to do with the recent redesign, the Pro branding. It's still a relatively small component in their overall business. iPhone still dominates. Anyhow, it's at the top of their percentage pile. It's still over half of their revenue tied up in iPhone. Now, sticking on that subject, on that topic, Samsung posts weakest profit in more than 2 years, expects improved results in 2019. Now, they say the S10, it exceeded their expectations in sales, but they were hit by falls in chip prices. You know, Samsung, they sell components that end up in a lot of other products.
Yeah, yeah.
And that part of their business is massive, including display panels that they also sell to other brands that are very difficult to manufacture. So anyhow, we're talking about big figures. We're talking about billions of dollars and shifts and so on. But they're down as well in terms of profits. And then I'm going to add one more to this story, to the grim outlook, the grim smartphone outlook. Google Pixel 3 is a sales disappointment. It sells less than the Pixel 2. Now, the CEO of Google actually came out and suggested that this might be a consequence of a diminishing demand for expensive top-tier smartphones in the price bracket that the Pixel 3 and 3 XL operates. Of course, it's at that flagship level, close to $1,000. Now, we can speculate on how this is possible or what exactly is happening, but I think it's indicative of a number of factors, including macroeconomic factors, global economic factors, and then also competition. So availability of smartphones that are actually good at lower price points. You say yourself, you're a OnePlus user.
Yeah.
You've used other phones in the past. You used an iPhone.
Yeah, I was an iPhone user.
You've used a number of smartphones, and here you are at a sort of sub-premium price point with the OnePlus 6 that you're using. Do you feel like you gave up all that much, or do you feel like you're at a good value point right there?
To be honest with you, and I was saying this before about like the new OnePlus 7 coming out, you know, would I switch? So I don't think people are switching phones as often. That's number one, including myself. I guess I could if I wanted to. I just don't find it necessary. Also, I find it to be a bit of a pain in the butt, you know, even if it's switching to the same device, like not going from different operating system like iPhone to Android. But I think even if you're switching phones, period, it's still a bit of a, you know, there's some work to do and you got to swap, you know, download apps and stuff. It doesn't all transfer over completely identically and that kind of thing. So that's me. And I think that's because phones are being more well made, right?
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those things that you're mentioning there, you may be more willing to go ahead and switch a phone, even if it's a bit of a headache, if you see a major improvement or a major reason to do so. But if you're relatively happy, then you're like, why would I buy? Like, it's a headache that I don't need. I think you're right. I think people are holding onto their phones longer. I think phones in general as an entire segment have gotten better. We talked about this on the show. And cheaper. Better and cheaper. And the two things happened in sequence, in tandem. There's just less of a need to upgrade. So it looks like people are hanging onto their phones longer and they aren't buying as many of the premium flagship devices based on those three stories. Next up, I've got something interesting here regarding Facebook. Are you a Facebook user, Ryan?
I have it. Okay. Like, I don't want to go too deep.
Oh,
into
wow.
This, but
wow. This really got you fired up.
So, you know how you got the Messenger? You have to download the app in order to use Messenger. And I have some people that I just have on Messenger. And for whatever reason, that's what they, you know, prefer to use. So, I keep Facebook as an app on my phone. I don't use it very often, if ever. I don't post on there, but I may use it to access Messenger.
It's barely there.
Yeah.
It's barely there. And you're like,
I actually have deleted it in the past, and then I have to put it back on so I can message somebody that's only on Messenger for whatever
reason. That's the only way you get in touch with them.
I know.
They're just sitting in a Facebook closet somewhere. There's only one way to talk to them.
I'm too accommodating, and I should just get rid of it and then tell them that they got to come on a different platform like WhatsApp.
Very accommodating.
Yeah.
Now, did you know that Facebook has a dating app?
No.
A dating section?
No, I don't. No, I didn't know that.
So Will just found the correct news story here. Facebook dating secret crushes feature. All right. Tell me what you think about this. To me, it's a bit creepy.
What? Secret crush?
To me, it's a bit creepy. It's like, we're adults here. Okay. What are we doing secret? What are we, 12 years old?
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
I mean, it's a bit depressing, to be honest. This idea that, when do you actually grow up?
So what's the idea? How does this thing work? Do we know anything?
Well, the
about
idea
this?
The idea is that you for sure you have a crush on somebody in your friend group. That's the idea.
Yeah, okay. All right.
That
okay.
For sure you have a crush on somebody in your friend group.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you can indicate that that's the case. And then they can privately indicate the same thing. So then you find out you both have a crush
without
on each other.
The other one knowing that
unless they do. Like a
wow.
kind of Tinder matching thing, but with your actual friends. Now, I should say that Facebook dating isn't available in the U.S. It's in 5 countries where it has recently launched. It may eventually, probably will, launch in the U.S. with certain features like this. But to you, does this have a creepy tinge to it?
Oh, I don't know. It's strange. Like, where I'm at right now in life, obviously I wouldn't be using it. But maybe when I was younger, I mean, if I was like, you know, a teenager, maybe I would. I don't know, because it's like...
It lets you express interest in up to 9 friends. What's going on here? Where is real life?
No, because it references poking right there. And I remember poking, like, not. It wasn't
you were
like
poking
was,
a lot of no. people. You remember poking a lot of people.
Anyway, I remember that feature. I don't remember using it very often as a joke, maybe. But, like, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I would use it or how I would use it. But maybe.
I don't know. I don't think I'm talking so much about whether people would use it.
Yeah.
Or whether or not. You know, you could successfully have a connection because of it. I guess what I'm the way I'm thinking of it is like, man, imagine a future in which this is how all your connections take
place.
This
is how you like hook up.
It's
with
such a weird roundabout, like silent. I got a crush. Like, holy moly, come on, man, man up a little bit. And it's where are you going to have any kind of confrontation, any kind of connection that requires some kind of energy or courage from you?
Courage, that's a good word.
Courage, we all had that moment where you had to walk up to a girl or you had to ask for their phone number.
It's hard.
Or you had to, and you proved something to yourself, and it was a kind of a growth moment. Now, I guess we sound like old men talking like that, but the problem is that technology, it makes our lives easier. And we exchange convenience all the time for these types of lessons. We just say, well, it's easier to not have the confrontation.
Yeah.
But what you don't really realize is what you're giving up isn't the angst and whatnot associated with that moment. It's you watching yourself overcome it. And then what that means for your personal character. To put yourself into a tough situation. And then now if technology continues to get better in this kind of way, those situations aren't going to exist anymore where you could overcome anything.
Yeah.
Everything will be this kind of low input, saggy,
no risk,
lazy.
Right. Like you're not risking anything.
Like, I don't know, swipe left and right. It's such a passive way of living your life. And technology, it truly does enable us to be lazy if we want to use it a certain way. And so that's the part that kind of is creepy to me. And that's kind of the futuristic part where I'm like, maybe we need to peel back on some of these aspects just a little bit.
Sorry, is this live right now?
Yeah, it's live in 5 countries. Yeah, it's live in 5 countries.
Can we name them? Or I'm just curious. It's not Canada, not the U.S.,
obviously. The article I'm looking at doesn't actually list them, but, I mean, it doesn't really matter. They'll bring it here. They'll bring it everywhere. They're probably...
It would be interesting to know how it's working, like, for those...
Well, they're not going to tell you. Argentina, Colombia, Mexico, Canada, and Thailand.
Oh, it is in Canada.
Yeah, so they're doing a test. They like to run tests. Oh, and it's expanding into 14 other countries: Brazil, Bolivia, Chile, Ecuador, Guyana, Paraguay, all of South America.
I'll tell you what: I think that people are going to use it. I think that a lot of people who are using Facebook already will use it, especially younger.
Well, here's the thing: Facebook has been trying rapidly to get young people back on the platform because they all left to go to Snapchat and Instagram. And it's been aging. Like, it's old people on Facebook now.
Yeah.
It's kind of become a meme. It's like a joke. It's like your grandparents are on Facebook, but that's actually who's on
Facebook.
That's
what's happening, yeah.
Yeah, it's aging rapidly, and young people left a long time ago, and they're not signing up the way that they used to. There's other options now in places, I guess, that feel more in line with that culture for them. So this could be a play, a ploy.
It's a little gimmicky. I don't know if it's going to bring people back.
At getting some of them back, but I don't know. It seems awkward to me. I don't know how I'd live with myself after participating in somebody.
I can see people using
it. It's just not my style.
Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying.
It's not my style. But the problem is, even now as an adult, I can say, hey, that's not my style, but still see a younger version of myself taking that shortcut.
That's what I'm saying.
I could see a younger version of myself saying, oh, that's an option.
I could see myself using it just because it's easy. It's like
that's what I mean.
Another option.
That's the scary part about technology is that it can make something easy that may have had some value in the fact that it wasn't before.
I see what you're saying. I completely agree. I do,
for example, you and I, we still play hockey. Well, we could sit at home and play video games.
Yeah.
But, like, not that there's anything wrong with video games, but what I mean to say is that there are some traditional things that you do that are hard, and you embrace the fact that they're hard. You embrace the fact that it's exhausting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that's the good part about it, is that it's hard to do, it's hard to win, it's hard to... I mean, video games share those things. But there are different ways to play video games. Some people play video games and really care about the outcome and compete, and other people are trying to escape and just like hit the pause button on life, and it really depends how you interact with it. But anyhow, nonetheless, we're moving on.
Yeah.
That's the story. It's happening.
That's interesting. I'd be curious to hear how it plays out.
You know what? I have another story connected to this one. Instagram removing likes from photos in Canadian tests. So once again, showcasing how Facebook likes to do their testing in places other than the U.S. They like to see how things go and then roll it out. This we talked about on a previous episode, how Facebook was considering removing likes from photos. And now in this Canadian test, they're actually doing it. Disappearing likes, photos without like counts. Look at that.
So what's just
that it's liked in general, but not the amount of likes.
Did they say why they did it?
Yeah. So the premise here is that people are social media, Instagram specifically, is making people depressed.
Okay.
That people will look at a feed or spend a bunch of time on Instagram and then feel worse about themselves afterwards. That they would say, why did that person get so many likes on their photo?
And
I got so few on mine. Like, imagine you're a girl in high school or something. Ryan, imagine you're a high school girl.
I'm already there. Okay. Well,
I don't know why I picked that, but like, I read a study recently about them being particularly impacted by some of this Instagram psychology. But imagine you're a high school girl or a high school boy. I don't know. And you post some personal photo, like maybe it's of you. It's a selfie, let's say.
Yeah.
And you have 600 followers and you put it out there and you get 8 likes.
Mm-hmm.
And you were all ready to go, dolled up. You had makeup on. You felt good about yourself. And you got 8 likes. And then your next door neighbor or the other girl or the other guy at school does the exact same thing. And they're racking off 10 times the likes.
Yeah.
How can you not look at that and assume that you're less liked?
Yeah, they're probably buying likes.
Now, maybe. But that doesn't make it any better.
No.
The point is, it's a currency. And people compete. And not everyone can win the competition. And therefore, I think internally, Facebook, who owns Instagram, is probably noticing that the user engagement, if you don't like it, if it's making you feel bad, you're probably going to delete the app or maybe access it less frequently.
I see.
So they say, hey, with a select group of people, maybe we're noticing, I'm just speculating right now, but maybe we're noticing a lack of engagement or activity from this particular user. Maybe they're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much data to work with. Maybe they can see key indicators, how many times they logged in, how their behaviors changed. Maybe they're using it less. Maybe they're depressed.
Like, there's more going on behind the scenes is what you're
saying. Of course. Yeah. Their analysis, their algorithms, their AI that they're operating, they probably know way more about their users than we're aware of. And those behaviors probably help form a vision for Facebook or Instagram on each particular user and what might be good for them. So imagine in a rollout, if they could say, okay, this person's logging in less frequently, maybe they're not so happy. Let's try removing likes.
And let's see what happens.
And see if they log on more frequently. And maybe the person starts to notice no likes and think to themselves, this is a friendlier place.
Yeah,
I don't mind this place.
There's not a competition element of like who's more popular.
It's just people sharing.
Yeah.
Now, here's the downside. Here's the other angle here. All social media is predicated on competition. All of it. How many views, how many likes, how many shares, how much love. Love is the life force, the engine of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So how can it operate? Can it sustain itself without some form of competition? If, let's say, you removed all likes from Instagram or all the platforms out there, do you diminish people's willingness to participate on the top end? Those key influencers who compete for likes are the driving force behind most of the content on the within these ecosystems.
I see what you're saying.
So if you're Kim Kardashian and you're getting whatever 600,000 likes, I don't know, maybe more.
Yeah.
You're partially doing so because you get to show your prowess and then sell it, presumably.
Yeah.
Because it's an influencer marketplace. So now you're participating because it's a beautiful little business ecosystem for you. If the like count goes away, and so does the authority.
Are you so motivated?
So does the authority.
Yeah, yeah.
You're less of it. Why should I listen to them? All the like counters look the same. Who should I listen to? Who's the influencer and who's the regular person?
Yeah.
So there are consequences to something like this. I don't think it ever happens Instagram-wide, but I think for certain users, or maybe as a feature you can turn on and off yourself, could be really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to see. Well, we're not going to get the behind the scenes, you know, analytics on what's going on, of course, but it'd be interesting to see how they proceed with it on, you know, a larger scale if they do, going to other countries or whatnot, right?
I think a feature within the app is something you could legitimately see.
We'll have to
toggle button. I got one more, Will. I'm going to let you in a minute here, but I got one more. On a similar topic about people's psychology relating to social media, smartphones, and whatnot. This is on Science Daily. Patterns of compulsive smartphone use suggest how to kick the habit. This is a brand new study, April 2019, University of Washington. In-depth study. They actually surveyed, they talked to 39 individuals between 14 and 64. And they try to figure out what kind of smartphone habit these individuals had, what their addiction or how they were addicted to their smartphones. And they all had similar answers, even though they were so different in age.
Hmm.
Not that they use their smartphones exactly the same way, but their reasons for being addicted or their reasons for being less addicted. So their triggers for having to reach for it and use it, and their triggers and the triggers that sent them the other direction, less likely to want to use it, were similar at all age groups. So here's some of the reasons, okay? In general, interviewees had four common triggers for starting to compulsively use their phones. Number one, during unoccupied moments like waiting for a friend to show up.
I do that all the time.
And that's at every age group. Before or during tedious and repetitive tasks, they feel compelled to reach for it. When in socially awkward situations, and when they anticipated getting a message or notification. That makes sense. If you're waiting for a message or notification, you're on your phone. Now, that's not that interesting to me. That's pretty obvious. More interesting is the common triggers that ended their compulsive phone use, which is listed below that. Competing demands from the real world, like meeting up with a friend or needing to drive somewhere. Real life stuff.
Yeah.
Real life stuff. Realizing they had been on their phone for half an hour. So, in other words, feeling disgusted with themselves that they had just been on there for so long and wasted their time. Mm-hmm. And then last, coming across content they'd already seen. You know that depressing feeling of like you're scrolling and you've already seen what's new?
Yeah.
And it's still the same stuff? It's like, God, what am I doing with my life? So, because of this research, these researchers think they may have exposed some of the keys in changing people's compulsive behavior around smartphone use by targeting the common triggers to end the compulsive use. In other words, by leaning into what works for the people who are compulsively addicted to their phones. So, for example, probably the best one, competing demands.
Yeah.
Don't make it harder on yourself. Don't sit alone in a room and pretend that you're not going to be compelled to use your phone. You're bored. You're not connecting with people. You're not doing anything. So, of course, that's what you're going to want to do. So, for me, that's the biggest one. All of a sudden, you're involved in the real world. You're having a nice conversation. You're at a social gathering. You're at an event. You're less likely to want to reach for it. The real world is great in that moment. So, put yourself out there more. And the smartphone diminishes in terms of importance, if that's what you're trying to do. The other ones are interesting. Realizing you've been on your phone for too long. That's software based. Maybe you could have app developers remind you, like, hey, this session is 30 minutes long. Maybe you want to take a break.
You could probably already do that, I'm sure.
You could already do that, but how do apps do it? How do they inform you? You can go in on iOS and on Android and look at screen time statistics, but like maybe some sort of friendly warning or noise, like after that session has reached a certain threshold, maybe 15 minutes. I don't know what it would be for people that would feel healthy, but it's an interesting kind of concept, a little reminder.
They do it for YouTube Kids, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do it for YouTube Kids.
But really, we're just kids that are adults. So they should probably
everybody
do it for
on
us
the internet
too.
Is a kid, like yeah. in some department.
Yeah, there's something we can learn from that, I think.
And then the last one, coming across content they'd already seen. I don't know how you would adapt that one, but it kind of falls in line with the last one, which is the people that are compulsively using it. They know it's not right, or like on some level, they realize that too much. Or if they've hit the wall of content they've already seen, or hit the wall of the half hour, then they start to feel remorseful about the experience because that acts as a trigger to end the behavior.
Yeah, it's like a key indicator that maybe you've taken it a bit too far in your session or whatnot.
So what's interesting about this is that people, even these addicted individuals in the study, they kind of get that it's not a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's interesting, because people like a lot of things and they will make excuses to keep doing it. There's nothing wrong with me. What do you mean? I love my smartphone.
You're saying they're self-aware. They realize that this is something that's
a problem. Yeah, within the study, I just feel like there's a growing awareness that like we can become addicted to these things, that they are a substance to be treated in that fashion, and that we need more discipline around the way that we interact with technology. Mm-hmm. And it's an awareness that's reflected in this particular study. So it's not just a couple of guys talking like, hey, man, isn't it when you go to your kid's game and every parent is on their phone?
Yeah.
Like, you start to notice these patterns and you start to wonder, like, man, is the future all of us just leaned into our phones, never looking at one another? Like, I think that recognition is emerging now and becoming more obvious.
People are becoming way more self-aware. Yes. There's actually, you talk about, I was at one of my kids' hockey games. They had a sign. It was out of town, but anyway, they had a sign that said something like, look up, watch your kids, you know, get off your phone, or I forget what it said exactly, but there was something that I think even the community rallied around, kind of like to
put your phone down
in the arena. Yeah.
Wild.
Crazy, hey?
Yeah,
so it's definitely happening. We're in it right now, and it's becoming more obvious that
another
an
example of that is comedy shows. You may have heard like Dave Chappelle, a couple others.
Oh yeah.
Where when you show up to the show, you get this bag with a lock
I've
on
heard
it
of this, yeah.
And you put your phone in the lock when you were in the bag, sorry, when you arrive, so that when you get into the show, you can't
you're shut off.
Pull your smartphone out or even think about pulling it out, and then it unlocks after the show ends.
Yeah.
So you have your phone with you, so you have the comfort of knowing that you're not like leaving it somewhere. It's still beside you, but you just can't access it.
Mm-hmm. And this one right here?
That might be it, yeah. And this is picking up steam within the performance community, not just comedy, but also musical performances and things like this to encourage people to just be involved in the moment.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's really, I think it's really hard to have the full-on experience if you are compelled to, you're kind of in two places at once. When you're compelled to reach for your phone, just the thought of doing so pulls you out of the moment to a degree. And so by putting it in the bag, you kind of like, it's a mental check mark, like that's not happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now people have made arguments against this, saying, what if there's an emergency? What if my wife calls? What if my kid's in the hospital?
Yeah.
And things like this. And it's an interesting argument, but human beings lived that reality for thousands of years, and we're able to experience moments and so forth. So
I catch myself thinking about that often, especially when I'm at events. Like yesterday night, I was at the Raptors game for the first time, so I was getting
sitting
caught up.
Courtside, Ryan.
So
you guys may have seen him in the broadcast.
Now, look,
unfortunate outcome to the game.
It was, yeah, it was a little tough to.
But
to,
a good game,
yeah.
A close finish.
I was taking a couple pictures because, like, and I'm not a big picture taker to begin with. I don't use my phone a lot, but you know, if there's a situation where I think that you know it's something that I want to make a memory of, and I was like, you know, I've never been to a Raptors game, so I took a couple pictures and I posted one on Instagram and. I mean, talk about likes. I think there is 18 likes. So I'm not a very popular guy, but I don't post a lot.
People are gonna go follow you now.
Yeah.
Oh man.
No, don't do it.
Will, put him.
There's
on blast.
Honestly nothing cool about it. I don't post
put
ever.
Put him it's... on blast. Anyway, old man Crow on Instagram.
So I caught myself and like it just like it does really take you out of the moment. Like even though I only took a couple, maybe three photos.
Right.
But I was like thinking like, oh. Get that off there.
Oh, man. What did
he put? Mexico picture? Jack remembers this one. I sent it to him a while back. Yeah. Is that PG rated? That? Anyway, so it just reminds me that, like, you know, like you said, we did live in a time without these devices. And
imagine what that Raptors game would have been like, you know, 20 years ago. 20, I guess. You got to go a long way back. But where no one in the crowd would be thinking about being somewhere else or looking at a screen. Like, even you see people courtside, celebrities and things like that, they're watching their phones half the time.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, man, this is a really special experience. But still, this tiny little screen in a moment's notice can be more
it's
compelling.
It's taking my attention away. That's the one. Will's bringing up the golf one. You told me about
this. It's kind of crazy. Oh, yeah. This particular picture of Tiger Woods. 2002 versus 2018. So that's 2002, that's 2018. Like, really everyone's looking at their screen. I think it's 100% well,
yeah,
of the people.
Or they're all taking a picture.
And everyone here is watching the actual event. And it seems like a small thing, but it really does change the experience. You kind of start to edit the experience. You kind of imagine yourself posting the thing and who's going to see it. And all that mental bandwidth that's associated with the other things that you're doing, both from a motor perspective with your arm holding the thing, and then also from a psychological perspective of trying to commemorate the moment.
Yeah.
Instead of, it's weird, you can't really commemorate the moment and be in it simultaneously. It's really one or the other.
It's one or the other, and there's a balance out there, I think. Again, like, I felt guilty, not guilty, but like I was questioning on like maybe the third or fourth picture I was taking.
Yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do I need that? Like, I took one.
Like, maybe one is where it's
maybe
at.
Maybe one's enough. And then yeah. You're done, you put it away, yep. And that's it. But yeah, it's hard not to
we all want catch to
take that cool yeah. picture.
We
right?
all catch yeah. ourselves there. I mean, this photo right here is yeah. evidence of that. And human beings are going to figure it out, man. I'm on the optimistic side with this. I think we're going to find a better balance. And this is still relatively new technology.
I think it's kind of happening already.
Yeah,
I think
it's happening
we know,
right now.
A lot of people know, but they're just kind of figuring it out. Like
we're adaptable creatures. I mean, that's how we made it this far. And I think people are going to recognize the downsides of being this hooked up to these things. And you'll have a little movement in the other direction.
Maybe you get to the point where
stabilize.
You just leave the cell phone at home. You go to a
every
like,
so
I
often.
I could have done that yesterday.
You could
have left it in the car, left
you
it in the bag.
Absolutely.
Emergency or no emergency, like you said, we've lived that way before. So maybe I'll give it a shot next time, see what happens.
There you go. All right, Willie, you got a story you want to bring up real quick?
Just two quick ones.
Two quick ones, okay. Galaxy Note 10 exclusive reveals Samsung's surprising design. This is our buddy Gordon Kelly right here from Forbes. He's always on the leaks and rumors, and he's got a render here of potentially the next Galaxy Note. And obviously, what's the most compelling thing there is the front-facing camera. That's crazy.
Yeah, what do you prefer?
I prefer it in the corner.
Yeah?
Yeah, as opposed to the center. I said this with the... So anyway, the image, if you're listening to the audio only here, the image Will's showing here is a render of a potential Galaxy Note 10, which puts a pinhole-style front-facing camera in the center, top center portion of an otherwise notchless smartphone. And he's asking me specifically if I prefer that. It's a smaller cutout or hole punch than the Galaxy S10, but I don't like it in the center. And this is something I recognized through my experience with the S10, having used it extensively. I feel like the top corner is a better implementation, even though it creates some weirdness when taking a front-facing photo. Like, you do need to tilt it a little bit. I don't take that many front-facing photos. It's just something I noticed testing it. Having it in the corner where you are used to seeing the typical information up there with your connection, your Wi-Fi, and your time, where your clock normally lives, it just kind of like melts into that corner and you stop noticing it. In the center of the image, it's a prominent location. This is where notches currently live. So, again, I don't know if this render is accurate or not, but I would prefer a corner hole punch to a center one, even though just looking at this as a design, exclusive of actually having to use it, it does look cool, that tiny little pinhole hole punch in the middle. But still, for me, I'm going to say I would prefer the other implementation. I've heard some other stuff about this phone, the upcoming Note, that it looks most of the leakers and the rumor mill and whatnot is pretty confident it's going to have a giant battery as well. That's the other significant development. The same enlarged 4,500 milliamp hour battery as the supercharged 5G Galaxy S10. So yeah, in case you didn't know, there is a 5G version of the Galaxy S10. It hasn't been talked about a lot because it didn't launch at the same time, but it's a bigger unit, and it's a similar form factor to the Note series. This is a cool render. It's going to be a cool device, I'm sure. If it's anything like the S10, it's going to be a popular choice. And the Note series, I'm glad it hangs around because it's different. It still has the pen, and it's nice to have options in this space and not have everything be the exact same implementation. So you still have like a pen input device that actually sells a fair number of units from what I can tell. You got some questions as well, Will, if I recall you saying a couple of questions. Am I correct? A
couple of questions.
Okay, let's see what you got. Any for Ryan? No, you didn't even know Ryan was going to be here. I'm sure Ryan would get a ton
Surprise
of questions.
Visit.
After people see his Instagram, it's going to be all questions for Ryan after that. Okay, here's a question from Danny. You have had so much exposure to new tech. If you could create your own smartphone, what kind of ideas would you consider innovating, hypothetically speaking? Well, definitely hypothetically speaking, because making smartphones is absolutely difficult. You and I have both seen the process to a certain degree, and it's like, it's tough.
It's a tough
task to make a smartphone. But if I could just like dream up some kind of smartphone, I mean, you would want something that's like, you would want something kind of like the folding design, but incredibly thin, like way thinner than the current implementation, almost like folding paper OLED with all the various hardware soldered onto the back of it that you don't even have to look at. And this is not an exclusive futuristic view. I think this is kind of what a lot of people might imagine for a future smart device. It's something paper thin that's powerful, has an incredible camera, and can fold out origami style into a gigantic display. And it's really folding phones that put us in this direction. Because this stuff, when you hold on to it, Ryan, you didn't have the opportunity. It really has a science fiction feel to it when you hold on to this stuff. When you're just folding and manipulating screens, it's got like a Minority Report type of effect where you really kind of feel like you're in the future to a certain degree. Now, as it's been well documented, the Galaxy Fold, probably not ready for prime time. Even the Huawei Mate X, like, where is it? They won't send it to me.
But you know they're going to get there. Because it's that close.
Yeah, and also because of what it represents. It's the aspirational target.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, we're tech companies. If you're a tech company and you're aiming at the impossible, which is really where the best tech comes from, then this is the thing you're probably aiming at.
Yeah, and I know you were talking about the Razer on yesterday's episode,
yep.
the new Razer. That would be my ideal if like...
It gets really small in the pocket.
It looks cool. Yeah. I actually owned a Razer and I liked it when I was younger. And if it's going to be anything like that and it's that small, I'd be excited.
This
I'd be
concept.
A buyer. I'd be a buyer if it looks like that and that's the way it works,
yeah.
Definitely.
It's a cool implementation. It's totally different than what we've seen up until this point. But the question is going to be durability like the other ones. Because look how crazy thin
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, like the Fold.
Yeah.
Wait to get your hands on it, and then that'll be the truth.
But it is a cool merging of like classic cell phone tech, mm-hmm. like that flip phone.
Imagine the
aspect.
StarTech. I think
yeah.
you brought that up.
Yeah,
in the video,
it's tiny, man.
Yeah.
And then it folds out into this like ultra wide, crazy aspect ratio that would probably be awesome for watching certain videos, and it's obviously going to be OLED as well. It's just, it's got a cool factor to it. Absolutely, it's still going to be pricey. And I feel the need to talk about that with, you know, these type of smartphones in general, because at $1,500 US, it's just not going to be for a lot of people. But hopefully, I mean, the idea is that eventually that trickles down.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the Fold. We're not there yet. It's pretty obvious. Like, it's just not reality yet. But that's where the best tech starts.
But back to Danny's question, you're paper thin, but it would be folding.
Yeah, and it would have to fold out to something bigger than that. Like, really what I want is a singular device that can constitute these experiences. So, like, it can take over for the tablet, phone, and laptop. So, some sort of origami situation. Again, I'm going way in the future here. But he told me to dream.
Yeah. Okay. If I was dreaming, let me.
Ryan didn't get asked the question, but he's dreaming anyway.
I've always thought.
What a dreamer.
I know nothing about holographic devices.
Oh, holograph.
So, like, that's the way I think. Maybe in 20 or 30 years, but, like, maybe it's small and it folds out, and then there's, like, a holographic screen. I know Razer tried some stuff with that. But, yeah. Like, legit, to have a screen pop up that's not a screen. It's air.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that's you're a cool typing idea. On it. That's my dream.
That sounds even further in the future than what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. It takes time to do these things.
Yeah,
so.
A lot of time. But science fiction is cool. I've seen some versions of it, like that glassesless 3D, and there's actually a company that Will's talking to about some pretty cool hologram product they want to bring by. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's definitely okay. Futuristic.
Yeah, we'll
we gotta
see
wait
to go
see
with that. Yeah,
how that goes. All right, Will, let's do one more question. Hello, how come you waited so long to tell us who Jack was?
Well, oh, you didn't wait long. He did.
I guess we both did. Yeah. We kind of all participated in the Jack mystery. It was mostly Jack driven, I would say. He's a naturally shy kind of guy.
Yeah.
And
you got to respect that.
And I mean, what more is there really to say about it? He did the reveal on his own terms,
mm-hmm.
his own time. It's very dramatic.
Hell of a video.
Phantom of the Opera style. I've been waiting to talk about it again, actually, for a while. So there we go. That's him. And, you know, he's look how creepy this is. For those of you that haven't seen it, on the Unbox Therapy channel, it's the Jack reveal. He's just another day in the office for Jack. That's how he arrives.
Yeah, just a regular guy, regular dude. Night.
That's
dude,
how he dude. Arrives with cameras planted all over the place. And the light's already on at the back.
He's filming himself.
Yeah, filming himself. And
hiding
behind a newspaper with it. Where'd you get that hat, by the way? In the reflections was one of the cool ways that people used to spot him. Yeah.
Oh.
This was cool. This video was cooler than I remember it now that I'm watching this early part of the cut. But anyway, if you haven't seen the Jack reveal, go check it out. The truth is, it all started out of like a real life thing in which Jack just didn't enjoy being on camera. He actually still to this day kind of hates. Do you hate being on camera still, Jack? Yeah, still hates being on camera, which is, like, I think there's a lot of people like that. People are triangulating images. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that aren't so happy about being on camera. And I respect that, to be honest.
Yeah.
It is a weird experience being on camera. I've done it a lot, but it's when you think about it, it's a weird experience putting yourself out there broadcasting. You seem to enjoy it.
You decided to. You chose a profession, yeah. Obviously, that you knew you were going to be on camera.
I didn't really, though. Like, that's a weird... Because if you go back early days Unbox Therapy, I wasn't actually on camera. It was just my arms
and
the thing.
Yeah.
And then I realized...
I realized that
was limited. And then... But yeah, this is the actual me eventually. But I didn't really set out, like, let's say for this show. That kind of developed more organically than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was... It was an organic development. But look, man, it was just my hands in the videos for like, keep scrolling there, Will. Let's see for how long. It's crazy that was 8 years ago. That doesn't count because that's just an announcement. Let's see at what point I switched over to actually sitting in front of the camera.
There's one
because that's just like an announcement video as well. Like, I wasn't sitting in front of the camera with an unboxing video until like probably halfway through the thing. Maybe more. You will have to keep scrolling in order to find it, to be honest. Other than an announcement video or some kind of an update, you would have to go really far to see me doing. So anyhow, that's not really important. The point being is that being on camera is weird, and I think it should be weird as well, because that just means you're aware of the whole exchange and the whole experience. If it's not weird to you, maybe you're weird. And Willie Do actually became more comfortable with it over time. Who knows? Maybe even one day Jack will sit on the couch over here,
mm-hmm.
in the frame. It's quite possible. Maybe he wants to come say hi right now. I don't know. No, he shook his head no. Anyway, that was a captivating moment right there in broadcast history where he thought about it, but he didn't go for it. Anyway, Ryan, it's a beautiful thing, man, to have you in town. It brightens the day. Look, Jack's got a twinkle in his eye. Will's got a pep in his step. You come in, you go sit courtside, all right? You have the time of your life.
Hey, I'm here.
And you pretend that you work here.
A couple more days.
And you
man.
Pretend that you work
I'm,
here.
I'm around. I'm here.
Anyway, he's here. So if you want to see him again on this show, I guess you can let us know in the comments or with your thumb or something. And if you don't want to see him again, then you can let us know as well. He can handle it.
Yeah.
He's a grown man.
Absolutely.
He's seen it all, and he's having a great time in this life, and you should too.
Thanks for having me on.
So there it is.